Blog Talk Radio.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be.
Good evening and welcome to Yada Yada Radio. I'm here with Kirk. We may also have JB on the line. We are having some technical difficulties this evening. No matter what I attempt to do, I'm unable to bring up the chat room. So if you're listening on the one of the listener lines, then great. I hope that some people are able to listen through the normal BTR app through the chat room. But unfortunately, no matter what I do, I get a server error in the application of a runtime error trying to bring up the chat room with Blog Talk Radio. One of the frustrating aspects of Blog Talk Radio is in this particular problem. But nonetheless, we are here. We're going to resume our investigations of what it means to be in God's image. Why did he use this description of saying that he has formed us in his image? And we ran across this idea in Yahshua Isaiah. And because God, in the end of his discussion where we left off in Isaiah, Yahshua, was so such a provocative passage, you know, where God is just essentially said, I'm so fed up with religion and politics, I'm going to cleanse the whole earth of it. And they say, you know, I'm so fed up with man's attempt to create these edifices to God, false gods, that, you know, thank you very much, I'm going to create my own. And that he's going to create this marvelous experience for us that reestablishes the house of Dode, of David, and unites it by what I think will be a bridge of light over this stunning waterway that will come out of the Mount of Olives and on the other side, just up the hill, the ridgeway of the ridge of Moriah, will be Yahweh's home, the covenant home for the covenant family, all comprised out of light. Going to be a marvelous sight. And God was speaking there of us becoming ever more in his image. And so we thought it would be interesting to see what God had to say about this. And of course, we immediately went, Kirk, to Barashith, where God said, in our image, we created him, male and female, we created them in our image. And of course, that was just stunningly insightful. Because it means a number of things. First of all, that Yahweh has, as we had anticipated, male and female attributes. He is our Heavenly Father and our spiritual mother. Explains why he addresses himself as our Heavenly Father and why he approaches us in his maternal aspect as the set-apart spirit. And he is in his holistic nature mirrors the very concept of the covenant of Abraham and Sarah conceiving children. And then we also learn by this that we reflect a lot of God's nature. We're very much like the blueprint for a spectacular home. You know, a two-dimensional representation of a three-dimensional facility, a home. And how it's an infinite increase from the two dimensions that are laid out on the blueprint to the three-dimensional building. It's an infinite increase. And then if you increase that infinitely in time, you're now in the fourth dimension. And yet Yahweh is seven-dimensional. And the universe that he created is six. Each time we step up, we become ever more like him. Not in the sense that our souls and our personalities are designed, our very nature is designed to be similar to him, just in lesser dimensions. But each time we go up, we're further empowered, further enriched, further enlightened, further emancipated, if you will, liberated. Marvelous. So we said we would pursue this, and we found that Dodd in the eighth Mizmor Psalm had a lot to say about what it meant to be in Yahweh's image and how that relates to the universe as a whole. Yeah. So, Kirk, this was the last passage that we were considering as we went into the conclusion of our program a week ago. And Yahweh says, indeed, I have, now this is actually not Yahweh saying, this is Dodd, Yahweh's favorite son saying, indeed, surely, I have examined and considered, I have observed, I've used the perception of sight to understand what has been revealed. I have the proper perspective regarding your universe and the spiritual realm, Shamayim. It's the work of your fingers. The moon and the stars show the way to what you have fashioned and formed. I think, Kirk, when we understand the universe and our place in it, and Yahweh's role in conceiving it, we are infinitely better prepared to understand who God is and what he's offering. I do think that it's not just understanding his word that matters. I think what Dodd has said here is germane to establishing a proper relationship with God. We need to be observant not only of his words, as they're recorded in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, but of the universe that he's created, both material and spiritual realm, and the size of it and its composition, six-dimensional. Or that we clearly understand the 3D realm of life plus time. But that represents 5% of the universe. 95% of the universe is composed of the other two dimensions.
Yeah.
They're both choice.
Well, where did he take Abraham the first? I mean, so he explained it to him. He took him to the stars.
So, and that's the second part that's so important to this, Kirk. You're absolutely right. If you want to understand Yahweh, have the proper perspective, you need to know both the role of the moon and the stars. And we're not talking about astrology here.
No.
Each, the moon and the stars, both convey an incredible amount of information about how we approach Yahweh and what he's offering us.
Yeah,
the approach, remember, Yahweh said that the way to approach him is via Zion, and he said that Zion needs to be understood in conjunction with the Mikra. That was our parting passage coming out of Yahshua Isaiah. And so the moon is essential to the Mikra. These invitations to meet with God, to be welcomed into his company. Because it's the first day of the month, of the first month of the year, Abib, when barley is still green and growing
available.
Dry. And it's at that time of the year that when the sun's light begins to renew on the moon's surface, the 2/7 from that moment is Pesach, the doorway to life. Mm-hmm. With the next day being Matzah, as we are perfected, as we enter the threshold of Yahweh's home, so that on the third day, we are adopted into his family. And that 7/7 from that moment, we celebrate Shavuot, the promise of seven, where we are enriched and empowered. And that those 4 dates where we're invited to celebrate with Yahweh, those 4 dates collectively are responsible for facilitating the benefits of the covenant. And so to be aware of who Yahweh is and what he's offering, you have to understand the role the moon plays in establishing the timing for the mikra. But as you mentioned, the stars are even more essential in understanding what God is offering us. Remember Abraham, he was rumbling to Yahweh, said, "You keep on offering me an inheritance. Don't you get it, God? You know, I'm a 95-year-old curmudgeon. My wrinkles have wrinkles. I got nobody. What good is an inheritance for me? I don't get what you're offering me." What he didn't recognize is that he was inheriting what Yahweh had to offer. That this man, known as the abundant father, was going to inherit an abundance from his heavenly father. And that Yahweh had to show him what he was going to inherit, which was the spiritual realm, and to be transformed into the light and the energy of the stars. Magnified. Empowered. Able now to experience this universe that Yahweh has created for us. And so it was until Abraham was taken to Shamayim, the spiritual realm of Yahweh, and then shown what it means to be transformed into the light of the stars, that he understood what he was inheriting. And Dode, 1,000 years thereafter, has come to the same understanding by being observant. And he's saying that indeed, surely, I have examined and considered your universe and spiritual realm. The moon and the stars show the way to what you have fashioned and formed. Because what Yahweh has fashioned and formed is for a specific purpose. One purpose only. For us to come into a relationship with him.
And his purpose.
Where we get to explore the universe that he has created and the life that he has conceived. We get to enjoy an infinitely empowered variation of what Adam and Yahweh experienced. Now that's pretty profound. That Dode, long before Einstein explained that light defines time, long before Einstein explained this relationship between energy, light, and matter, physical world, Dode figured it out. Long before we had these tools to examine every word and the understanding of our universe and of science and of time itself, without all of the benefits of the prophets and hindsight and seeing so many of these prophecies fulfilled, Dode figured it out. You know how much harder that would have been for him than it is for us?
Well, that's, yeah. I thought about it since your conversation last week when we realized that he doesn't even have really an access to the Torah other than what Shemuel would have given him or shown him. And because he's not a lawyer, so he wouldn't be in the tent, you know, to pull it out any time he wants. So,
right.
So he doesn't have that advantage. So he has Shemuel, of course, and he has he's under inspiration. Of course, you'd never come up with this. This man is deep. I read all the way to the end of his chapter in great detail today and yesterday. And,
yes.
And he's a freak of nature.
I know, I've said this, and I think Kirk, you're with me on this.
Oh, I
we we're both as heterosexual as men can be. The women are the greatest thing that God ever created.
Yeah.
But we both have a crush on this guy.
Oh,
I just think Doge's the greatest thing on 2 feet.
Yeah. Well, y'all kind of
this guy
too.
Was so insightful, so brilliant, and he shared what he learned in such a way that it wasn't laid out on a silver platter for us. He kind of leads us along the same voyage of discovery that he went on.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it fun to study his lyrics because you feel like you're going on the same path. You're seeing the same things that he saw. You're coming to understand the same things he came to perceive right along with him.
Yeah.
So he's sharing it in real time. It's just, what a treasure.
Yeah. Well, that alone fulfills the prophecy of Yehuda being the right implement in this case, you know, or the
yes.
voice.
And he is a scepter.
Everyone
is
right.
Right.
He is. Yeah.
And he's not only a scepter past tense, he is the scepter present tense because it's his words.
Yeah.
That he is to the covenant.
I thought about
right.
that a lot today. We studied so much in this section. We studied so much of Psalms, and I was on the phone. If I may, I was on the phone today with a friend, and I was talking about how I had read the latter part of this. And I said, if you're sad about anything, just read the last 20 or 30 pages of this chapter, and it's all dode, and it's just uplifting beyond belief. And his stuff is so good. I mean, it's I just don't know what else to say. He just it was uplifting just to read what he says, and I don't get that all the time. I guess embarrassed.
Yes.
It's just amazing how well he writes.
Yes.
I hope when we get to that,
it's the insight that this man was able to perceive. Now, in some ways, he had it all over us. And in some ways, we have it all over him.
Yeah.
You know, and what our advantage is, that we have these marvelous tools. We have copies of texts that go way beyond. I mean, like the text of Yashiah,
mm-hmm.
Hosea, the text of Malachi, the text of Zechariah.
Yes.
None of those were available.
Jeremiah, yeah, on and on.
Right. Jeremiah wasn't available to him. And the tools that we can study the fullness of every word, that wasn't available to him. Now, the fact is he was fluent in the alphabet of Hebrew that Yahweh had chosen to convey his truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really huge advantage. That means he was thinking in Hebrew. And I had to teach myself to think in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
But he was native to him. That's an advantage for him. But the biggest advantage for him is we're inspired by reading what Yahweh revealed through the likes of Dode.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh inspired Dode. Now, Kirk, other than responsibility, I wonder if there's really any difference. Is there really any difference other than responsibility for being 100% accurate between being directly inspired by Yahweh, as was Dode, David, are us being inspired by what Yahweh revealed through doubt?
No. In fact, towards the end, you know, of this chapter, I forget where now, it's all merging together a little bit, but you almost talk about that in your commentary, I forget, but we are when he's talking about people who continue, he's talking about the message and this particular messenger, and whether you are translating that and putting it into English to the best we can translate, it's the same animals. I mean, we're just carrying on what he did. So no, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
I think it's exactly the same. Now, maybe that's, I can't say exactly the same, because there's an enormous difference in responsibility. If you claim to be speaking for Yahweh versus you claim to be as accurately and as completely as possible conveying what Yahweh has spoken through others, the words are the same.
Mm-hmm.
The responsibility is different, but the words are the same. The insights are the same. The opportunity is the same.
Yeah, we're just sharing what he wrote, but we have to jump through hoops to prove that this is what it is in our particular language. But
right.
But the responsibility, the burden falls on him to be accurate and find the error. That's why we know it's inspired. There is none.
Right. So it is it's stunningly valuable what we have from him. And, you know, I just absolutely treasure every word of it.
Yeah.
So here we have Dode revealing this to us. So he says, indeed, I, and I like the fact that Dode writes in first person, he makes this all personal. And I think the fact he makes it personal is extremely important for us. Right?
Yes.
And the more personal it is, the better it is for us. And Dode speaks in first person. And the advantage for that is we can put ourselves in his shoes. I don't think there's anything inappropriate for you to say, indeed, I, Kirk, have examined and considered your universe and spiritual realm. It's the work of your fingers. The moon and the stars show the way to what you have fashioned and formed. You can say that.
Yeah.
In first person.
Yes.
And so that's one of the advantages of what he brings. So then he asks, what is Ma? Now, I like Ma as an interrogatory. And I really like Hebrew because Hebrew begins the question telling us that there is a question in the as opposed to the English version, you put the question mark at the end of the sentence versus in Hebrew it's at the beginning of the sentence. It really tells you that this is a question as opposed to the end. So, oh boy, I should have brought that up as a question. So it's an entirely different format.
Yeah.
So I really, really like Hebrew. So now the second thing I want to talk about on Ma is that we have come to a conclusion together in the work and the research we've done that there's a lot of Hebrew words that are prefixed, if you will, with Ma at the beginning of them. That Mikra is a great example. We know that Kara is the basis of Mikra. The verb means to invite and to summon, to read and recite, to meet and to welcome. It's a marvelous verb. And that's Kara. But Mikra puts a Ma in front of Kara. And so So the interrogatory is saying we should come to inquire about the who, the what, the why, the where, the when of the invitations to meet with God, to be called out, and to be welcomed by Him. So, in Hebrew, having an appreciation for Ma is just extremely important. I think it's one of the things that most people miss is that so many of the most important Hebrew concepts are simply God encouraging us to ask the who, the where, the why, the how, the when regarding these kinds of things. So, notice this beginning. What is mortal man that you should be mindful of him? Zakar who? Even a son of Adam that you actually and continually choose to acknowledge him.
Now, in the grand scheme of things, a lot of people have thought that. So, yeah, why?
Yeah, and why? I don't think Dode is asking a question.
No.
And by the way, I think it's very common.
Well, he's talking to us more than he knows the answer.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I think that it's a little different here. But you know, when Yosha said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Was he asking a question?
No, he was telling us.
No. Yeah, he was quoting from the opening line of Dode's psalm, Mizmor, which explains exactly what he was doing there.
Mm-hmm. That was a clue to us. The same thing here.
Right. That's a clue to us that just because something is written as a question doesn't mean that the person making the statement is really asking a question, but instead encouraging us to seek the who, the what, the where, the why, the how, the when of what's happening.
Yes.
Now, in this case, Toad knows exactly why Yahweh has created man, and he knows exactly how man relates to all of this. Yeah, he knows it inside out and in between.
Mm-hmm.
So, what he's doing here is encouraging us to go on this journey of thought right along with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling us to think about what is mortal man, Enosh, that you are mindful of him. What's this frail, weak, desperate individual that you, and Zakar is the term that Yahweh uses to describe, for example, circumcision. You know, I want you to circumcise your male children so that they
memorialize it. Yes.
Yeah, memorialize, acknowledge, consider, or mindful of, remember.
Remember, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, preserve. And on, yeah.
Right. When Yahweh introduces his name to Abraham,
yeah.
Not to Abraham, but to Moshe, and he says, you know, my name is Yahweh. That is the one and only name that I wish to be Zakar.
Zakar, yeah, to
right.
Be more,
yeah.
Remembered, rather. Pardon me.
Right. Right. So it's an extremely important term. Why are you mindful of man? So this is the opposite view of the religious view. The religious view is we ought to be mindful of God, right?
Well, I wanted to jump in just for one quick second when you said Zakar.
Yeah, sure.
When you connected to Moshe, and Moshe saying, I mean, God saying that to Moshe, this is my name. I want to have it remembered, memorialized. This is it, celebrated, on and on and on and on. All the things that mean Zakar.
Uh-huh.
And we just don't even know his name. I mean, you know, that was probably more close to me. That's the name to me was as close as Asher was to you. I mean, I kind of understood what was going on there because assumed he was, the priest was putting his hands on, just like the lamb, you know, and declaring him. So that didn't disturb me the way it disturbed you. But this did, this sort of thing constantly did. I was just so mad when I started reading Jesse Yaw out there. And I knew his name, and they poo-pooed it at church.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought it up. It was like, it's not important. I'm going,
yes, like
I didn't understand
the
talk.
New American Standard Bible.
Yeah.
Introduction to New American Standard Bible. They have this whole thing on God's name.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, it's the four letters that are thought to be pronounced have no significance, have no religious significance.
Well, they don't.
And therefore, we have chosen to follow tradition. And every time those four letters exist to write the Lord.
That is just, oh, it's crap. I mean,
right.
That's saying, I don't want your God. I want Baal. I mean,
right.
You know, when you came out with Bob Bell and all of a sudden it dawned on you, and then all
that's
of a sudden the rest of it, that is just awful.
Right.
That is just terrible. They called it Babel.
Yeah.
Babel.
And, you know, I was walking down the boulevard the other day, riding my bike, actually, from the house to breakfast, and I'm on Fort Lauderdale Boulevard, and I look over, and there's a huge banner, and it says, Jesus Christ is Lord. One of the houses facing the beach. And I remember saying, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But not in the way they think.
That's what they
believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Christian Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Satan.
Yeah. Boy,
that's a shame, but that's what they've done. They've modeled a Dionysus satanic god, and they're worshiping Satan. They just don't know it. He is the Lord.
Yeah.
It's just that he has nothing, absolutely nothing in common with Yahusha. And, of course, we've just celebrated Christmas, which is the birthday.
Birthday of Tammuz.
Of God.
Yeah.
You know, excuse me? You think that God has a birthday? Do you think that birthday celebrations are part of God's instruction to us? I mean, come on. How can you be that stupid? It's amazing they are. So who is mortal man? Well, mortal man is the purpose of everything. And of course it's the opposite, the absolute opposite of what God is wants us to think. God wants us to recognize that we are the center of the universe. That he created the universe specifically to have a relationship with us. That we're the purpose of the universe. And so God wants us to recognize how important we are to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not encouraging us to fear him. He's not encouraging us to worship him. He's not encouraging us to recognize his magnificence. He's encouraging us to have exactly the opposite perspective.
Yep.
And it's one of the most liberating and empowering concepts, Kirk, I think there is in the universe. That God wants to have a relationship with you and I and everyone who's listening tonight, even more than we want to have a relationship with him.
Yes.
He is more desirous of empowering us, of enriching us, than we could ever possibly be.
I think Joe addresses that a little in this section of the next section. He says it over and over. It's amazing. It's missed. Wow.
Yeah, that you actually continue to choose to acknowledge him. Yeah. But why would Yahweh be sending Moshe out to retrieve his children and liberate them from slavery in the crucible of Egypt?
Yes, it
and then spend 40 years with them marching out through the desert only to then establish this relationship with them via the prophets, especially Dode. Why is Yahweh invested and humanity, acknowledging humanity, coming this path for humanity to know it, revealing himself to us, proving his existence to us through prophecy. And don't know the answer.
Now,
what God wants most of all.
Now, Doe, as the backdrop to this, would have seen his people reject Yahweh for Shaul. I mean, and he was astute enough then to know, my gosh, you know, if this is what he had to have known, because he was already writing Psalms as a shepherd. So he must have known how much Yahweh wanted us and loved us, and he must have taken that just as big a blow as Shaul did, as Shemuel did. Once he thought about it, he just, that's almost like the door opening up to, you know, and nobody came. You know,
right.
if you really think about what you just said, about what Yahweh feels about us, and then you go back to those concepts where he's rejected, he didn't reject Shemuel, he said he's rejecting me, they want a king.
Right.
That is a blow. That is horrible. And I think the same way about it for Christmas. I mean, you just, because Terry was reading Josephus, Mary bought one, and he was reading that one, and it was loaned it to us. And it talks a lot about Solomon. And Solomon would have wives, and then he would build temples for them, and he would go over there and worship with them. My God, that's one. That's why I don't care much for Solomon. I don't think I'm going to see Solomon.
I don't care at all for Solomon. If I never see Solomon,
it's okay.
That'd be just fine with me. Yeah,
there
are a lot of people I don't care about. I mean, I'd like to meet Hezekiah.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about Abraham, but nonetheless, I'd probably like to meet him.
Yeah, he's probably.
I don't know Adam. We don't know Adam for Adam. Jonah probably be a cool dude to meet. I think they'd be fun to meet. Of course, I think we're all looking forward to one day meeting Moshe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think we would enjoy the opportunity to meet with Yahu Kanan and Shimon Keresh.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd be cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some people like Hosha I think would be interesting to meet. You know, but for the most part, it's Dode.
Well, it is.
He's the cool dude. He's the coolest dude in the universe.
Yeah. But there's going to be a lot of stories to share. You know, a lot of ones to listen to. You know, and remember, they're going to be ratcheted up, too. They're going to be good storytellers then.
Yeah. Now it says, you have somewhat deprived him of dimensions. Well, Jashurhu Ma'at, you've withheld a little from him as it relates to something which is needed, thus pertaining to a relatively lower and diminished position compared to the Almighty, and yet with a significant presence, as well with the best qualities, you have honored him. I suspect that Dode realized or was inspired to realize long before the concept of dimensions even existed that God specifically deprived man of 6 or 7 dimensions.
But it sounds like
that yet he gave us all of what was necessary, these extraordinary gifts. Free will, nesama, a conscience, as well as consciousness, the capacity to communicate with words, written and spoken. He gave us this capacity, these enormous, wonderful qualities, the ability to love, to treasure family, to value work, to engage in relationships, to think, to grow, to understand. All of these marvelous qualities he gave us, honored us with, such that the dimensional shortcoming would be overcome. And if God had created us as 6 or 7 dimensional beings, infinite in time, infinitely empowered from where we are now, infinitely enriched from where we are now. Can you imagine what humankind under those circumstances would do to the universe?
Well, they would destroy. That's why he couldn't do something like that. I mean, you
right.
cannot do that.
So we had to be diminished, but with all of the qualities needed to appreciate who Yahweh is, what he's offering us. So all the qualities to enjoy and to perceive and to choose to engage in a relationship with him. Everything we would need for that. And then all the communication necessary for us to know him. Such that he could empower and enrich us with added dimensions. Recognizing that it's only those who not only choose to get to know Yahweh as he really is, who choose to engage in a relationship with him along the terms and conditions that he's laid out, accept them, enjoy them, appreciate them, that it's only those people who he can enrich and empower, such that there are no dimensions separating us from God, that we are empowered infinity to the fourth power. That we not only choose to accept him wholly set apart from religion and politics and societal customs, and don't bring any of that garbage in, and love who he is and what he has revealed about himself, we are going to be augmented with the Torah, his teaching and guidance and directions literally placed inside of us. So, I think that Dode figured out the ultimate key to appreciating who Yahweh is, who we are, and what God is offering. That's why it's so frustrating to hear people talk about wanting to be saved. And they haven't a clue to be saved to whom, to where, for why. And when you realize that salvation is not even in the equation, that what the equation says is you're going to be enriched and empowered, adopted into God's family and perfected and made immortal, that these things, to be increased in dimensions to seven dimensions, are infinitely superior to being saved. That's what Dode is stating here. And an appreciation of the fact that while 99.999% of people don't capitalize on the best qualities that God has given us. And I think the best human qualities are the Nesama, our conscience, our unique human ability to reason. Because that's the only way you're ever going to know God. Yes. And the fact that humankind was modeled such that men and women would come together as man and wife, and then mother and father, and conceive children and raise them in a home, uplifting them, nurturing them, supporting them, enriching them, and empowering them, so that our very nature, the qualities that comprise who we are and how different we are than other animals, that those qualities are the very qualities that will enable us to be empowered and enriched and benefit from Shavuot and to be adopted into God's family. Those are the best qualities.
Yeah, how if we didn't have an Asama, how could you even come close to understanding that? I don't even think you can't even take one of those people.
Without the ability to reason, Kirk, I don't think we're anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, so all the other
people. Our journey has been twofold. One is to observe. We have closely examined and carefully considered each letter of each word that Yahweh has conveyed and tried to communicate it in the lingua franca of our day, English, as completely and as accurately as is possible, so that we might know.
Yes, indeed.
But knowing won't get you to God. It's a powerful first step. It's infinitely superior to faith or belief.
Yes.
But knowing won't get you to God.
No.
It's understanding. Right. And for understanding to have occurred, and I think this is the embarked upon as it relates to Yahweh's testimony is that we've sought to make the connections which lead to understanding.
Yeah, you can.
And there's nothing that we could have offered anyone more valuable than that. It's not our gift, but his.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, we've played a role in replacing faith and belief with knowledge, and then using the insights derived by making the proper connections to lead the observant to understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You have spoken proverbs to him regarding the works of your hands. Everything you have placed under his feet. You know, we have a book that now is called Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we came to the conclusion the vast preponderance of them were written by Dode, not by Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this helps verify that. So, Dode is speaking of Proverbs before his son, Solomon, can write.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they were inspired through Dode. You can't attribute the Mashal, the Proverbs, to Solomon when Dode is speaking of them before his son can write. Before his son might even have been born, Solomon. So to attribute them to Solomon in this context is just being ignorant of what Dode said and when he said this. So it not only demonstrates that Dode is the author, actually the lyricist of the Proverbs, and which is perfect, that the Proverbs are all father, mother to son. Dode's the son.
Yes.
So it makes the Proverbs from the covenant perspective of father, mother, son, with Dode being the son, perfect. But it goes one step further. It means the lyrics to Dode's psalms are Mashal. They're word pictures.
And they're,
you know,
they're
word
stories,
pictures.
They even serve as a comparison. Like in the first one, you know, is the first psalm, he was comparing this to, yeah, so he's connecting dots all over the place. So, yeah. Cool.
And the works, regarding the works, Asa. Asa means to engage, to act upon. And Ma in front of it means to think about, to question, to ponder the who, what, why, when, and where of engaging and acting upon what God has done. So you've spoken word pictures, proverbs, to mankind, to him, regarding the works, the who, the what, the where, the why, the when, of what you've engaged in with your hands. And then everything you've placed under his feet. Wow. You know, this idea of bringing your tithes and offerings before God, that's the opposite of this, isn't it? This is God placing these great treasures beneath our feet. This helps to reinforce what it means to walk to Yahweh. Under the path that we walk to Yahweh, the seven Moed Mikre, that under our feet as we walk to Yahweh is this great treasure.
You want a word picture?
Yeah.
Look at hands, Yod. Think about how his wrists with a hand reaching down to lift you up and pointing towards the doorway.
Right.
I mean, hard to miss. I said, the works of your hand. What are the works of his hand? Here's his hand reaching down, pointing you to the doorway.
Open up the door.
Esau. I mean, that's cool.
Yod, yeah. It's the hand reaching out and down with an open hand to the doorway.
Yeah.
I'm opening the door for you.
Yeah.
What a picture.
Yeah.
Come in. I'm opening the doorway for you. There's a word picture for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just absolutely stunning what we have placed before us here. The work of your yod on your hands. What is your hand doing, yod? Opening the door. That, you know, if you want to look at what are the things that Yahweh has engaged in, Atah, Yad Atah. Well, what has he engaged in to open the door? Fulfilled Pesach, the doorway to life. Fulfilled Matzah, the means to perfect us, to remove all of the corruption of religion and politics. And then he's engaged in fulfillment of Bukurim so that we can be adopted into his family. That's the work that he has prepared to open the door. Everything you placed under his feet. Well, that's talking about the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the path, it is the Mikre, the Moed Mikre, the seven steps that we walk to Yahweh, of Pesach, the doorway to life, Matzah, the threshold of perfection. We cross to enter God's home, Bukurim, to be adopted as his children, Shavuah, to be enriched and empowered and enlightened, to Teruah, so that we can share this wonderful news and offer a warning to people who are have chosen instead of a relationship to be religious, such that there is a day of reconciliation with Yahweh's chosen people, with Israel and Yehuda, ultimately leading to Sukkah, to camp down with God. That's what is beneath our feet when we walk along this pathway with the signs posted along the way of Zion, up the ridgeline of Moriah from Dode's home to Yahweh's home, the covenant home. But if beneath your feet, it's something for us to stand upon, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is even richer than that.
It was beneath our knees, did it?
No. But if you think about regal, it's foot, heel, and to endure. And it comes from regal, which is to go about on foot on a journey, or to go about and explore, spy, or examine. I mean, it's kind of encapsulated everything he talks about. That's the Moed Mikra. That's the trip. You endure. You walk along the pathway of the along the signpost along the way, the seven Moed Mikras, and you examine it, and you explore it, and we get to explore some more, and you'll constantly do that forever. I mean, this is what amazes me about. I know I sound like a broken record. I apologize, but it's still. Each week I go through this and I go, wow, that's really cool. And it's not that I miss the big picture, it's just some of the little subtleties. It's like the little details in a painting a brick wall. You go look at the little crevices and so forth. They're just amazing. I didn't know the big picture, but the littles are just so they reinforce everything that's in the big picture.
I read it, and it's from the details that we are given insights. So, Dode David's last words were inscribed in Two Shamuel. It was originally just one book, but now it's called Two Shamuel, 23:1-5. They were memorialized for our edification, and only for our edification. So, since this discussion concludes with the first 10 prophetic statements incorporating Tishmach, let's turn to it now. It begins. Now, Tishmach, by the way, is the image concept. Now, these are the last words, statements, of the prophet Dode, the son of Yishai. Yishai means to be, to exist, from Ish, substance of existence, and a being who stands out. So then declared the one man who stood up, was raised up, and was established by the Most High, anointed Mashiach, the God of Jacob. The pleasantly melodious, acceptable, and musical singer and songwriter of Yisrael. I would love to hear Yahweh say that of you, of anyone in our covenant family, of me. Yeah. And I think he intends it for us, but he said it of this man. So these are the last words of the prophet. Now that is the difference between Dode and us.
Yeah,
Yahweh revealed himself through Dode, and we find Yahweh by studying what Yahweh revealed through this man.
Mm-hmm.
The son of Yishai, it's important for us to know that he is the son of Yishai. Why do you think that's important for us to know? Why did Yahweh tell us that Dode was the son of Yishai?
Well, I know what Yishai means. It's
right.
Uplifting words, being substance, existence. It's like Haya, which is obviously to exist eternally.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave you some clues about, more clues.
Right. Yishai is a metaphor for Dode being the son of Yahweh.
And, you know, the word itself is a lot like Haya, if you think about it. It's a Yod, Shin Yod.
Yeah,
it's just enough words. Either way you go through it, like Dode, which is
right.
The same thing. With the,
right.
With the,
exactly. Yeah, Yod, Shin, Yod, Yod, Shin, Yod.
Yeah.
And it's the basis of Yasha to save.
Yes.
So then declared the one man, Gerber, the individual who is part of a larger whole, who stood up, was raised up, and was established. Kum, oh, for God's sake. If only people knew what Kumbaya meant.
Yeah.
To stand with Yah. Dode, David, Kumbaya, who stood up, was raised up, and was established by the Most High, was Moshe, a man who stood up, was raised up, and established by the Most High?
Absolutely.
No.
No?
No.
He was certainly helped him, called him to...
Moshe, reluctantly accepted the role of going into Egypt with his brother's help.
He was Aaron.
And he reluctantly accepted the role. But this says the Dode is the one guy.
Who stood up? Yeah. Okay.
Who stood up?
Point taken.
Who was raised up and was established by the Most High. Yeah. He's the Gerber.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? The one guy. And by the way, Hebrew was, and will be.
Yeah. The one guy. You're right.
The one guy. Hopeful, perfect. This is a causative verb whereby the object is very strongly influenced and put into action for a finite period of time by Almighty God. That means that Dode is more important than Yasha. More important than Yahusha. More important than Moshe. He's the one guy who stood up, was raised up. And was established Kum.
Yeah. As you mentioned, you don't understand it. It's a waste of time. The knowledge doesn't
help you.
But...
Right. And let's just say that, all right, that he wasn't the only one. Let's just say that, okay, Yosha certainly stood up, right?
Yeah. Stood up for us so we could stand
right.
With him. You know?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's others that would fit into that description. But the very fact that this announces by Shemuel, who we know was inspired by Yahweh, to say that the Dod was a mortal man who stood up, was raised up, and was established by the Most High, doesn't that mean that we ought to pay a lot of attention to what he had to say?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Well, even if he was one of several, even if he was one of 100, since we have so much from him, mm-hmm. since his written message is preserved for us today, shouldn't we devour every word of it?
Yeah, well, as you pointed out many times, if we don't pay attention to Dod, we have no serious idea of Yahusha.
Correct. Now, what's also interesting here is Dod is in the same sentence as Moshiach.
Yes, I noticed that.
Dod, by the Moshiach, anointed. Moshiach. Specifically designated, chosen for the specific task, and approved. Set apart from that which is common and authorized to serve as an agent, bequeathing greater responsibility regarding a specific function and mission. Is there any passage in the entirety of Yahweh's Torah, prophets, and Psalms that says Yahusha Moshiach?
No.
Not one. There isn't a single, even if you were stupid and you thought that his name was Jesus as opposed to Yahusha, there isn't one single statement that says Jesus Christ, Yahusha Moshiach. What do we read here? Dod Moshiach.
Yeah.
You want to know who the Moshiach, the Messiah is?
Yeah.
Dod. Ooh. That's what this says. You might want to say, that's unfair. That's what this says.
Well, if you can't go where the words lead you, let me show you something else.
Yeah.
And this will, because you commented on this later. Mashiach is from Mashach. Mashach means anointed and so forth, but it also means rubbed with oil. Now, the only reason I bring that up and wrote that down is because he was anointed with oil. Yahusha was not.
Correct. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Absolutely. There is no point where Yahusha was anointed with oil.
Right.
And Dod was. That means that Yahusha is not Moshiach, and Dod is. And by the way, well, when we use this term anointed, that term unfortunately carries
religious overtones,
inaccurate religious and political connotations. What the word actually means explains what happened here. It means specifically designated, chosen for the specific task, and approved, set apart from that which is common, and authorized to serve as an agent, bequeathing greater responsibility regarding a specific function and mission. Now, what's interesting is that Yahusha is not someone we can emulate.
No, that's one task you can't do.
Yeah, he's perfect. And what he fulfilled for us, actually fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, Bekonah, Mishaboh, we can't do.
No.
We can benefit from, but we can't do. Everything Dod did, we can do. I don't know, we shouldn't do a lot of things Dod did. But the nice thing is, Dod wasn't perfect. Dod's a perfect example of that to demonstrate that the purpose of the Torah is to perfect the imperfect. Yahusha was perfect. He was not perfected. Dod was imperfect, and therefore perfected. So the purpose of the Torah, the promise of the Torah, is explained through Dod. But Dod is the Moshiach of the Most High. That's what this says. It never says that Yahusha is the Moshiach of the Most High. And for anyone that doesn't get it, the answer is that Dode's words reveal who Yahweh is, how we are to observe his Torah guidance, and how we benefit from what God is offering. Dode is the written lyricist of Yahweh. Yahweh is more manifest by his words than any other way. And if the dopes that are Christians would just wake up and realize that by worshiping a man that they do not know, that they're headed in the wrong direction, where if they were to instead closely examine and carefully consider the words that are revealed through Dode, that they would actually come to know Yahweh, understand what he's offering, and would be able to capitalize on the covenant relationship.
And if they needed
it, Yahweh's noble through his words. That's what Dode figured out. That's why he's the Mashiach.
Well, I was just going to interject. If you needed your marching orders from a Christian frame, Yahusha constantly, number one, his name means Yahweh saves, not Yahusha saves. But he also, everywhere he pointed back to go back to the Torah, and in the Torah you find all the Psalms, and he also always points to the, and he's coming back to save Jacob and set up the house of Dode. I mean, after a while, surely, after a while, you get the message of where Yahweh wants you to focus.
On Dode.
It just isn't that hard. It's Dode.
Right. You know,
so he's
not establishing the kingdom of Yahusha.
Yeah.
He's reestablishing the kingdom of Dode.
Yes.
Figure it out. And is it because Dode was exemplary in his actions?
Hardly.
Perfect?
Hardly.
Because Dode wants you to worship him?
No.
It's because what Dode wrote explains everything you need to know about who God is and what he's offering, how to capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. Dode is the living embodiment of what it's like to be part of the covenant. When we capitalize on what we can learn from Dode, we too are Mashiach. It's Kirk Mashiach. It's Greg Mashiach. Because by capitalizing on what Yahweh has conveyed through Dode, we benefit in all of these ways. We're not only established and lifted up by God, we are specifically designated and chosen for the specific task, approved and set apart from that which is common and authorized to serve in this way. On behalf of the God Elohim of Jacob, the one who supplants his feet, digging in his heels, the pleasantly melodious strong writer of Israel. My goodness. Yahweh loves songs, loves lyrics to songs. The lyrics to songs are so uplifting, so empowering, so enriching in our lives. And Dode was the songwriter of God. I don't think God calls a number of people prophets. Jesse was a prophet. Hoshea was a prophet. Zechariah was a prophet. Malachi was a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet. Moshe was a prophet. A lot of prophets. Dode's called a prophet. But who else is called Mashiach? Dode's called Mashiach. Who else is called the lyricist of God? Of his people.
Pretty amazing.
Right. Great. And this is what comes next.
Never mind.
This is what's so powerful about this. It says, the Ruach of Yahweh spoke through me. and his word, his statements, and his reasoning were on my tongue.
That's interesting.
I guess maybe it just makes me weak in the knees. I mean, I'm sorry, it's probably should say that in a different way because it enables you to stand, but sitting here reading that, it just causes my skin, every part of my body to react. It just stunningly insightful, affirming that Dode was actually inspired by the Spirit of Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh spoke through Dode. And so as you're reading the 119th Psalm that tells us how to observe the Torah, going alphabetically through each of the 22 letters in alphabetical order of the Hebrew alphabet, so that we would understand every jot and tittle of the Torah. It was inspired by Yahweh. When Dode just spoke in the preceding Mizmor of being a diminished manifestation of Yahweh, was inspired by God. I think we are indirectly inspired, and Dode was directly inspired. I don't think there's really a difference in the end. I mean, God, of course, what Dode did is landscape changing. It's the fulcrum upon which the human experience pivots. But we benefit from his lyrics as much as he did.
Absolutely.
And we can trust what Dode wrote because he wasn't speaking for himself. The Spirit of Yahweh spoke through Dode. This, you know, there's every recorder saying, the Spirit of Yahweh spoke through me. And that's really powerful. For a guy to say that, the Spirit of Yahweh spoke through me. That's powerful stuff. And to have that memorialized by none less than Samuel.
That's big time, ain't it?
Yeah. And his word, his statements, and his reasoning, his milah, his answers. That's what's so interesting here, too, is that the nuances of Hebrew. You know, we in English have the word for word, which is word. And Hebrew has a word that means to speak, word, which is dabar, and dabarim.
Dabar.
Yeah, but dabar in plural, dabarim. But this is a very unique form of word, which means reasoning, his answers, the relevant content, insights which characterize the truth, the affairs and matters most vital to him and for us to know about existence, milah. And so his answers, the most relevant of all content, insights which characterize the truth, the affairs that matter most to God, were conveyed upon my tongue. And we have the opportunity to read every word, to study every word, to benefit from every word.
Yeah. Well, when I came to Dabar, I also was doing a little historical stuff on ancient thought on what Dabar meant, and it said that the words were not viewed as concepts and ideas. Were not also just completely viewed as concepts and ideas, just to form sentences, but as a thing of matter. That the words had substance. And
yes.
Thinking about that, his word is his character and his bond and his promise, and a real tangible, concrete thing, as opposed to just
right.
a
the substance of who God is.
Right, and then I started thinking, well, you know, and he spoke, and the Big Bang began. It may have been his equation worked out, but I mean, he spoke it into existence. When his words are. And we often say that Yahweh and Yahusha and the Ruach Kodesh and his Torah are all these written teaching words, or his, or him, or them, are all the same. just in different formats or different connotations, so we can understand them. So it really is a tangible thing, and and they're all one of sameness, speaking the same story. So that's a lot. Well, I mean, here's another example. The word itself can create order, which would be a positive thing, but it also could be a curse, like he talks about the plague of pestilence. When he designates Shaul as the plague of death, I mean, and he talks about it as a curse. I mean, everywhere he goes, it's those words that he spoke are the greatest curse and the greatest pestilence ever let loose on the world.
Correct.
I mean,
and then the Spirit of Yahweh spoke through David. You know, it's amazing that God only speaks of the Christian Paul, the author of 13 of the Christian 10 New Testament books, plus the subject of the Book of Acts, and the inspiration behind the Book of Luke. Yeah, and one of his attaches wrote Hebrew. So, you know, collectively, it's about half the Christian New Testament by Paul, and 100% of the Christian religion comes from Paul. And that Yahweh consistently calls Paul the plague of death, and yet Christians focus on the words of Paul.
Well,
and yet Yahweh is saying, the Spirit of Yahweh spoke through me, and his insights, his reasoning, his answers, everything that's relevant is upon my tongue. And I'm here to tell you, Dode's message is the opposite of Shaul's pulse. Mm-hmm. So if Dode's message was inspired by the Spirit of Yahweh, and it's the opposite of Paul's Christian message.
Yeah. What is that?
Paul's Christian message is dead wrong. There's no other rational conclusion that can be made. You don't like it. Tough. Sorry for you.
But it's so free.
There's no other way to. You can't wiggle your way out of this one. If Dode was inspired by Yahweh, and by the way, if Dode was not inspired by Yahweh, and we find this in Samuel,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, God's unknowable.
Yeah.
You know, it's Paul that claims that, you know, that, you know, all of this was inspired. He recites from it. And so if it's not inspired, the whole thing's for naught. If it's not inspired, then all of Christianity is for naught.
Yeah.
My message here is the opposite. The God of Israel, the God of the United States,
no.
The God of the Roman Catholic Church,
no.
The God of the Palestinians, for God's sake.
If there were such a thing.
The God of Islam, the God of politics, the God of the military. No. The God of Israel has spoken to me. The rock, the sewer of Israel, the solid, permanent, unchanging, reliable, and firm stone of Israel is a word picture conveying symbolic meaning of Mashal for man, correctly and appropriately conveying a reference and respect, a reverence and respect of God.
Yeah, that's the same word they use for obey, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. What a lousy way to translate that.
Well, yeah, well, it would be fear. Yeah, Yare is rendered fear in English Bibles.
Right.
And
it means reverence
and respect.
Fear. Yeah.
And appreciation of the awesomeness. So, a lot of things being conveyed here. It's the God of Israel, not the God of Christianity, not the God of Jesus Christ, not the God of Paul. The God of Israel has spoken to me. And he's conveyed here as the rock, solid, permanent, unchanging, reliable, firm of Israel. The word picture of Mashal. Conveying symbolic meaning. And that's part of what Dode has came to understand, is that these words are symbols. these ideas or symbols, even the ten statements that Yahweh etched in stone, they're symbolic of far more important things. The Moed Mikre, symbolic. Circumcision, symbolic. Now, they're tangible, too. They are invitations to real parties.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very tangible and specific purpose, but they're also symbolic of something much greater to provide meaning for men. Collectively and appropriately, accurately, tzedak, conveying the reverence and respect of God. The words that Yahweh spoke through Dode enable us to be correct regarding God, to be right. Yahweh said that Dode was tzedak, right. Well, it's the word pictures, the meanings of the words that Yahweh conveyed through his spirit, set apart spirit, through Dode, enable us to be right, to be correct, to be vindicated, and for us to revere and respect God. That would be very reassuring.
Well, yes.
That we can take the words that this man penned based upon the inspiration, and we can rely on them. So similar to the light of morning, of Bakor, of thought and consideration during the early part of the day, the prudent time to search and the best time to seek, inspect and think, from Bakar to observe, consider and reflect. When the sun rises, the sun appears and ascends, becoming visible and shining. During the early part of the day, when it's best to observe, consider and reflect. Bokor, without obscuring phenomena, this brilliant light radiates knowledge, Noga, from the rain, green and vibrant growth emerges out of the land. So what Dode is telling us is that Yahweh's words are comparable to light. Light's time exists. Light is vastly more powerful than matter.
Mm-hmm.
Light is what we inherit. We become spiritual, energy-based beings. Light is what illuminates us. It's what enlightens us, what empowers us, enables us, perfects us, makes us immortal. So similar to the light of the morning, Bakor. Bakor is a fascinating term for a couple of reasons. One is it's used over and over in the creation account.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of morning and evening of that of the first day, and it's always the opposite. God's telling you, I'm giving you perspective here from the end to the beginning, as opposed to the beginning to the end, because it's always evening and then morning. I'm giving you the perspective from the end to the beginning. And it's also related to Bakar, firstborn children. And the morning here, the light of the morning is important because the light of the morning is light increasing or decreasing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Increasing. Where if it was the light of the evening, the light's going to fade and, you know, darkness will transpire until the following morning. So it's the Yahweh's word is not only akin to light, but the light of the morning when it rises in the sky becomes more powerful and brighter and more illuminating and more empowering. Yeah, more warming and enlightening and all of those kinds of things in the morning, enabling us to be firstborn children. When the sun rises during the early part of the day, you know, I've always thought of myself as a morning person. I fade in the evenings. You know, when I do this show and we get much close to 9 o'clock, my voice begins to fail me. You probably hear it in the tone. And when I'm asked to do those late night radio shows, I'm It's really hard for me to do it.
Yeah.
But I wake up and I'm ready to go. My mind's clear, refreshed, more alert. I think the morning's the best time to study Yahweh's Word. I think the morning is the best time to derive insights.
Yeah, I wish I was that way. I'm a night person, though.
You're more of a night person.
Everything's quiet and still, and I can just, it's just, computer's there, the books are there, the papers are there, bum, 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 bum.
That's where I've been
in my life, so that's the way, that's just me.
I like both.
But if I had
I wake up in the morning with my mind clearer than the other time. Without obscuring phenomenon. First light of morning is the brightest. You know, it's just my mind is not foggy.
Yeah. Well, you know, they used to say put a notebook by your pad by your bed on your bedstand with a pen, because ideas do come to you in the morning, and you need to write them down then when they do. And a lot of people feel that way. I've noticed that. I'm just when I work better when it's a little later in the day, or at least certainly through the evenings. But that's me. What can I do?
Yeah. Well, he only says that Yahweh's word is similar to light, particularly the light of Bakor, the first light during the beginning part of the day, as light begins to grow without obscuring phenomenon. That this is a brilliant light which radiates knowledge, Noga. The majestic appearance of the light enables the enlightened to know and respond, even to shine immensely by reflecting the splendor. So, it not only radiates light of knowledge, and you know, to know is to be enlightened, right?
Yeah.
So we innately understand this concept. To know is to be enlightened. Yahweh's word is akin to light. It's immortal. It's empowering. And it is the source of knowledge. And it can transform us. We can reflect its splendor. Then he says, from the rain, green and vibrant growth emerged, Dasha, out of the land. And he's not saying that green grass grows in Missouri. No, that vibrant growth emerges out of the land. And the land is Israel.
Yeah.
And it's from there that we grow. And it's the waters, the cleansing waters, the source of life. Well, water is not only the place from which life emerged, but it's the universal solvent. That the cleansing and life-giving properties of water on the land is the source of growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we grow. We need both light and water. Water to cleanse us, to be a source of life and light, to be enlightened, to be transformed, to be empowered. And that it's out of these things, that out of the land of Israel, out of the land, is where we grow.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously.
Because everything Yahweh did and had to say took place in Israel.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
A signpost along the way.
And the heart of Jerusalem, or heart of Israel, is Jerusalem. And the heart of Jerusalem is Mount Moriah, to revere Yah. And the heart of Mount Moriah is Zion, the signs posted along the way.
So don't start out with the stars and talking about the heavens.
Uh-huh.
You know, and examining in the earth, and now he's down to all the smaller things now on the earth and the details, and then it all drives back home to Israel. So he's made quite a turn there from the expanse to the one spot on the earth. Interesting.
And yes.
That's what he said, right? When you started.
Yeah.
And you say I think it must have been in.
Yeah. And Kirk, one of the things we'll begin our next program on this, because Dode has now brought all these things together. The light of the stars, the role the moon plays in the path to God. How, you know, he's this guy that God established and stood up. And how this set-apart spirit of Yahweh put these words that form his lyrics in his mouth. Well, it's going to culminate in Shemuel 23:5. Yes. Listen to him, because it's going to speak specifically of the covenant relationship. It's an everlasting covenant relationship.
Yeah, Olam comes out a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know how you make that one.
Suitably structured in every way, readily observable, because this is the totality of my salvation, and everything I desire is in the Beret, the covenant relationship. Because Dode is the living embodiment of the covenant.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know how many times you used to say that that's the Yahweh loves his covenant relation more than anything? I mean, more than anything, because it has to be that, because that's the only vehicle to get us home. So obviously that's the process. So he has to love the process and embrace the process so that we can find our way home. But
well, would you ever have thought that you'd find a treasure of this caliber in this last part of the second book of Shemuel? I mean, who would have thought that's where you'd find this treasure?
Well, I don't think people would. It doesn't surprise me much anymore because, let's look at the last year. We've gone from Abraham, details in Abraham. You even made me change one of my paintings or throw away one of my paintings where I had Abraham with Yishak, because I never really thought he's leaning up against the board, you know, instead of laying down on a slab, even though I had him more in a crouched position or more like a facade shape, you know. And so, I mean, it's just you go through these little things, and I go, wow, that is really deep. And I'm always delighted, but not always shocked. I mean, Yah puts it there. If you dig, it's really there.
So that we might participate in the covenant, which is what Dode leads to next.
Well, the ultimate thing, yes, if the words don't mean anything unless you take the understanding and then apply it and respond. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, my friend, we've come to the end. For those who tried to listen to us or find us in the chat room, I'm sorry, I tried another 50 times during the show. Maybe that's a slight exaggeration, maybe another 20 times during the program. Tried with two different browsers to bring up the chat room, and we were unable. I hope it is a problem that Blog Talk Radio solves, but we tried. I know there were a lot of people who listened live, and I know that ultimately that JB will take this and make it part of his site. But for those who listened live, thank you, and we'll be with you this time next week. May God bless you all.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Kurt.